written the title on the board of the message the Lord had inspired me with to share for this morning, Heavy Hearts on Holy Ground. Does anyone have a heavy heart this morning? You know, just because we love the Lord does not make us exempt from being heavy-hearted. There are burdens that life brings. There are difficulties that come. There are even places that we stumble in life. There are heartaches that we face because of people that are close to us. There are physical problems. There are financial problems. There are spiritual struggles. But I am very thankful this morning that we do not have to face those things by ourselves. I'd like to begin over in the third chapter of Exodus, and I would appreciate your prayers this morning that the Lord would help us to get hold of the Word today. Exodus chapter 3 said, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame, a fire out in the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Now, one of the things I find a lot of times that when the minister reads much more than a phrase of Scripture, people tend to start tuning out. Have you ever noticed that? You're afraid to nod your head. So I want us to go back. Moses kept the flock. Moses was a shepherd. You know, Moses was a type of who? Moses was a type of Christ, because as Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, so Christ led his people out of sin in deliverance. Jesus was the chief shepherd, is he not? Moses was a shepherd, and he was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And Moses at this time was somewhere around 80 years of age. Moses fled Egypt after he killed the man and it was discovered. Moses left Egypt when he was around 40 years old. So now he is around 80 years old is when he went and spoke to Pharaoh. So this was right before that time. So Moses had been there in Midian and had been a shepherd for around 40 years. And we don't know a lot of what was going on in those 40 years, because we read of Moses in Egypt, and then we read of Moses bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. So what was going on in those 40 years? Those 40 years were a time of preparation. 40 years. Where we might look at that and say there's nothing going on. God's timing is different than our timing. Why didn't God appear to Moses in the burning bush when Moses was 41. It's like, let's get things moving, Lord. If you're going to bring your people out, let's do it now, sooner rather than later. But it was not the right time. Saints, in due time, the Lord is going to work. The Lord does not work on your timetable. And I don't hear anyone say, thank the Lord. But see, we have a timetable, don't we? And we have things in our mind that even times I said, Lord, I have to know the answer. I got a deadline. Somehow the Lord tends to take his time because he doesn't see things like we do. The Lord is looking at the big picture this morning, and I want you to be encouraged with that. The Lord sees things that you don't. And the Lord's timetable is just very different. So there had been 40 years that Moses had been a shepherd, learning to lead the sheep. Isn't it not interesting that he led sheep for 40 years, and then he led the children of Israel? I wonder how, I think it was probably easier to lead sheep than people, but you've got to start somewhere. And God started teaching him to lead the sheep by literal sheep before he gave him the authority to lead his people out of Egypt. When Moses left Egypt, he married Zipporah. And then we read here that he was a shepherd there for Jethro. And we read here that Moses led the flock. Now, this is stuff a lot of times people just kind of skim over. I don't want to skim over it this morning. There's a message here that the Lord put on my heart. It said he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So what is the mountain of God? What is this mountain of Horeb? What is this mountain? I'd like to, if you will, turn with me. And we're going to come back here, but turn with me to 1 Kings, if you would. In the 1 Kings in the 19th chapter, in the 7th verse. 1 Kings chapter 19, in the 7th verse. This is talking about Elijah. And just to save a little time, do you remember Elijah had been with the prophets of Baal and they put their sacrifices on the altar and they all prayed to their God. You pray to Baal and see if he'll send fire down from heaven. And you remember the prayer they prayed? They prayed for Baal to send down fire, and did fire fall? It didn't. And Moses, or Elijah, was actually a little ornery. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe you need to wake. Maybe he's gone on vacation. And so they jumped up and down and they yelled and they hollered and they cut themselves and they did all manner of things to try to get the attention of their God. And lo and behold, no fire from heaven fell. But then when Elijah prayed, did he jump and holler? Did he scream? Did he cut himself? Did he cry? I'm not saying there's anything with crying. And there's nothing wrong with elevating your voice and your passion of your prayer. But I want us to know that when Elijah prayed, he prayed a simple prayer to the Creator and asked him to look down. And God manifested himself with fire from heaven. You know, sometimes, see, God knew the need before it was there. And it was not the emotion that drew the fire down. It was the faith and the sincere seeking God that, Lord, would you reveal yourself in this battle? Lord, help us to teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Some people judge the anointing of the Holy Spirit by how loud you preach, or how high you jump, or how much you dance, or how much you wave your hands. The evidence of the anointing of the Holy Spirit is God's approval on His Word in your life, and the anointing and the power that comes from to enable us to live a holy life. That is the evidence of the Holy Spirit this morning. And so fire came down from heaven, and then we find that Elijah got scared because his life was threatened. Jezebel was going to kill him, and Elijah took off running for his life in despair, might I say, with a heavy heart. I'm going to die. And as you remember the story, Elijah ran away, and he sat down and said, Lord, just take my life. Have you all ever felt that way? Lord, just take me now. You might be afraid to nod your head, but I dare say, sometimes I wish we had little clickers at our seats. With yes and no's, they have those at college. You can click in, it's anonymous, and you can get the survey to see what the crowd says. I think that would be very interesting sometimes among God's people to have clickers. Maybe we could invest in those trustees. All right, we're not going to take up an offering right now for that. But I want us to see that when we consider, I'm thankful that was there because Elijah was a man of God. And take note, he had just seen fire fall from heaven. He had just seen a divine power of God. And the next thing we know, he's running for his life and he's like, Lord, just kill me now. Just take me now. Wouldn't we look on that and say, Elijah, God is real. You just saw him work. But what I see is Elijah was human. just like we are. We see God work, and then the next trial that comes, we have to fight emotions again because we feel like, oh, it might overcome us. And the angel of the Lord appeared, and we can't stay too long here. But the angel of the Lord came and cooked something up for Elijah and woke him up and said, Elijah, get up and eat. And Elijah ate, and it wasn't enough. I'm still dead. I just take me. And he went back to sleep. Sometimes the Lord in His mercy comes to revive us and encourage us and strengthen us, and we eat and then we fall back into the same condition, go right back to sleep. But God did not stop there when there was one of His prophets that had a heavy heart. He sent the angel of the Lord again and made him another meal and said, here, Elijah, get up and eat. And on the strength of this, you will be able to travel. And Elijah got up and ate, and he went on that food for 40 days. Folks, that's divine power of God. But here we want to take note now, in the 7th verse, when the angel came the second time and touched him. And you might say, I thought we were talking about Moses. But let's take note of something here with Elijah. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Elijah ran to the same mountain that we find Moses at when God appeared in the burning bush. All right? So Elijah went to Mount Horeb, and when he came there, with a heavy heart, I don't know what I'm doing now. They're after me and I'm the only one left. If you ever feel like you're the only one left, just know that God has more than just you. You're not alone this morning. But God, when he got there, and then it says that there came, behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and said, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And the Lord was, and then a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood. And there, God talked to Elijah. God talked to Elijah, who was running for his life with a heavy heart in despondency. He met with him at Mount Horeb. And there God spoke to him. Have you ever wanted God to speak to you from the earthquake? From the big things that happen, the earthquake, the wind, and the fire. But you know, more often than not, when God speaks, he speaks to us in a still small voice. I would say that God didn't speak in the fire. He didn't there, but he spoke to God in the fire to Moses. But to Elijah, he didn't. And this is why, and I believe Brother Victor mentioned this Wednesday night, but this is why the scripture says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. There is so much commotion in our world. There are so many things happening around about us. And we look, it's like, oh, what is God doing? And what is God saying? And saints, sometimes we just need to be quiet and be still. And listen to the quiet voice of God. How many parents like to raise their voice to their children? And we shouldn't raise our voice ever in anger. But sometimes a voice is raised when it's like they're not listening, or they're acting like they're not listening. And so the voice is raised. Is that how parents like to talk to their children? If it is, you have a problem. If you like that. But a parent doesn't want to have to holler to their children. I didn't like it my children would holler out. It's like, no, you come to where I am. See, that's a show of respect. Children shouldn't holler at their parents either. But a parent should not have to raise their voice. Come together. God doesn't want to have to holler at us. God wants to be able to speak to us quietly. And sometimes I think we don't hear the voice of God because we're too busy. There's too much commotion. And we need to get quiet so we can hear the voice of God. Sometimes people say, well, if the Lord will hit me over the head, I'll do what he said. If he speaks to me from a voice out of heaven like thunder. The Lord has spoken very clearly to me like that before, but usually he doesn't. Usually it's that quiet leading. But to hear it, I've got to get quiet. If your heart is heavy, the things that are making your heart heavy can sometimes distract us from hearing the voice of God. So, Lord, my heart is heavy, and I need to hear from you. So help me, Lord, to close my mind and my eyes to the things around me. And, Lord, here am I. I want to hear what you have to say to me in this battle. So Mount Horeb was the place that God spoke to Elijah. Now going back over to Exodus, it was the place that he met Moses in the burning bush. And there is another place that we read about a little bit later on. You remember when Moses climbed a mountain and got the Ten Commandments from God? Does anybody remember what mountain that was? No? Mount Sinai. You remember that? Moses, later on, he went up Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. Do you realize that Mount Sinai and Mount Horeb were the same mountain? In different passages of Scripture, it's called, some historians say it was actually two different peaks, but it was the same mountain that God spoke to Elijah, and then we find God speaking to him in the burning bush at Mount Horeb, and then we read later that Moses climbed Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, same mountain, and there he met God, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. And so here we read that Moses came to the mountain of God. This was the mountain where God had met and meets with his people, with my prophet that's heavy-hearted, with Moses who has left Egypt and all he knew, and he left his people in slavery and in bondage. And it was there that God met Moses and spoke to him from a burning bush. Do you know that there is a mountain that the Lord wants to speak to each and every one of us this morning? And the Lord has a long history of meeting his people. When they are heavy-hearted, he has a long history of meeting his people and communing with them. Well, going back to Elijah just for a moment, when God spoke to Elijah at Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai, Elijah left. And you remember where he went from there? Think back, how long has it been since you read that story? When Elijah left that mountain, he went and found Elisha. And it says Elisha ministered unto him. And I thought, how beautiful when you read the context of that, that here the prophet is heavy-hearted, and God, he met God, and God talked to him. He was on holy ground. He was on the mountain of God, and God revealed himself, and Elijah went and did what God said, and there he found Elisha, and Elisha ministered to him. Folks, when you feel lonely and in need, God is going to come and minister to you. The Lord uses his people. The Lord uses his people to help one another. This is one of the reasons why the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. If your heart is heavy and you are struggling and you need to hear from God, the Lord many times will say, I want you to go. And there you will find your Elisha that will help carry your burden and minister to your needs. That's just another little beautiful part of that story that's there. So here, the angel of the Lord, it said, appeared to Moses in the flame of fire in the midst of the bush. Who was this angel that appeared to Moses? Do you realize that later on, if you keep reading down through this, we find that it was the voice of God who, when Moses said, who is it I say sent me? He said, I am. Who is the great I am? It's God himself. The eternal God, the ever-existent God. And if the angel appeared to him, speaking from the bush with the voice of God, who was that angel except for Jehovah himself? It was the Son of God that was manifested in the flesh, was Jesus Christ. That is the angel of the Lord. Jesus Christ revealed himself because Jesus himself said, if you have seen me, you have seen who? You've seen the Father. If you have seen me, because Jesus, this brings us to the concept of the Trinity, but Jesus was part of God. It is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God in the flesh is Jesus Christ. The ever-existent, eternal one spoke out of the fire. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. I'm going to turn aside. I'm going to stop leading the sheep. I'm going to stop the cares of life. I'm going to stop doing what I had in my mind to do, and I'm going to turn aside and see this thing. Folks, we need to stop what we're doing sometimes and turn aside and hear what God has to say to us. I want to stop, and I'm going to turn aside and see this thing because the bush is not burnt. What does that signify? God did not come to destroy. He came to give hope. He didn't come to consume. Jesus did not come to bring judgment. He came to bring deliverance. He came to bring hope. God is not speaking to us this morning to try to make us feel bad, to put us on a guilt trip. He's not trying to just beat us over the head with our past sin and past failures. But Jesus appears. The voice of God speaks to us through his Spirit to give us hope. The time of judgment is coming, but today is a day of hope. The bush was not consumed. It gave hope, and Jesus spoke from that. Jehovah, the Son of God, and Moses responded by saying, here am I. Here am I. Because Jesus said, Moses, reading from verse 4, and he said, here am I. You know what comfort that gives to me this morning? Have you ever heard the Lord call your name? Michael. Here am I, Lord. Moses, who had a heavy heart, who was living in a place probably daily and at night, he was thinking about his people that were in slavery and in bondage, and God spoke his name. I want you to know this morning that God knows your name today, all right? When your heart is heavy and you don't know where to go and you don't know where to turn and it seems like you just feel like Elijah, that you just want to throw your hands up and die, I want you to know that heavy hearts on holy ground is where God will commune with his people and he will give us hope. So Moses responded and he said, here am I. And I wonder this morning if anybody's willing to stop and listen. Turn aside and see. Lord, what do you want to say to me today? And in verse 5, he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. See, this is the mountain of God. You know that today, it's even in many countries, it's still respectful to take your shoes off when you come in to worship the Lord. In Pakistan, I advise if anybody goes over there, don't wear lace-up shoes. If you're going to be traveling around to different services, because when you come into service, it may be just a very simple place. It may be under a brush arbor, but you slip off. Oh, I'm going to preach in my socks here this morning. You take off your shoes out of respect. I'm not advocating everybody take their shoes off here. Please don't misunderstand me. But it's a custom. God told Moses, take off your shoes, because it was a symbol or a sign of respect. And many countries still do that, to come into service. It's one of the reasons why, and this is not, there's nothing holy about these walls in here, but this is a place we come to worship. It's why I remember as a child, I remember running. Well, I remember what happened after the running. Let me say that. I remember running through the chapel and I got sat down. Son, do you know where you're at? Yes. Where are you at? And my dad loves this story. He said, Michael, do you know where you're at? And he said, yes. You said, church. He said, okay, then act like it. You just sit down right here and be still. And I got sat down. Because I wasn't supposed to run in the chapel. Out of respect. Not because the walls are, but this is a place we come. And it's why it's something good for parents to remember. We want it to be a place of respect. But here was a place that God spoke to them. And he said, take off your shoes. Because you're on holy ground. And you know, there's a little more significance to that. Because it's also a sign of humility. And when we want to listen to God, it seems like so many people are wanting to tell God what to do. Have you ever been there? It's like we're telling God what to do. Lord, you do this. Rather than saying, Lord, I'm going to take off my shoes. Talk to me, Lord. See, taking off our shoes is I'm ridding myself of my pride, of my self-sufficiency. And I'm placing myself in humility before you because I'm in the presence of God. Lord, what do you want to say to me today? I want to encourage us this morning. I'm not advocating taking your shoes off coming into the chapel. But I would like us to advocate to you this morning to get rid of your pride. Get rid of your self-sufficiency. Lay down who you are and who you think you are and your abilities and what you can do and what you have done. And get down low before the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. Heavy hearts on holy ground. When we hear the Lord speak, we're going to get rid and we're going to humble ourselves down, or we're never going to hear the instruction of the Lord. So the angel, the Jesus Christ, said, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for thou standest on holy ground. Placing yourself in a place. Do you feel like I'm a little vulnerable here, not having my shoes on? Is that a little bit vulnerable? The Lord wants us to be vulnerable this morning. You don't have to be vulnerable to me, but get vulnerable to God. I think too many times, folks, people get caught up in their own pride as they seek the Lord. You are on holy ground. If your heart is heavy this morning, take off your shoes, spiritually speaking. Get vulnerable before God. You're on holy ground. The Lord wants to work in your life. But as long as I stand on what I've done for God and who I am and what place I'm filling in the body and what I sacrifice for God and, well, Lord, here I am. I need you, Lord. What do you have to say to me? And then in verse 6, he said, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In other words, I've got history. I've got history. I don't mean to be sacrilegious by saying this, but folks, God is not the new kid on the block. God's not the new kid on the block. I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God of your grandparents. I know what's going on. I'm that God. And Moses, it said he was afraid to look upon God. You know, when you look at the Hebrew of that word, afraid, it doesn't mean like I'm scared. That word also means reverence and respect. And you remember we just read that Elijah covered his face? Moses did the same thing here. He hid his face because he was in the presence and the majesty and glory of God himself. Lord, it's not that I'm trembling in fear, but out of great respect, I honor who you are. And I would like to conclude then, as we bring this to a close, this is the crux of the message. And there's a lot I could say this morning. There's a lot that you could preach on about this. But
heavy hearts on holy ground. This was the message of the angel of the Lord Jehovah. Verse 7, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry for reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And then moving down to verse 9, he said, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my children, people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So this is what the angel of the Lord said, Jehovah. He said, I have seen thy affliction. I have heard their cry. I'm going to bring them out. I came to deliver. I'm going to bring them out. And I'm going to bring them to a land that flows with milk and honey. That's what the Lord wants to do for heavy hearts on holy ground. I hear your cry. I see the problem. And I want to bring you out to a wealthy place and do what only I can do. The Lord has heard your cry this morning. He's hearing your cry. He sees your sorrow. He knows your heartache. And if you will just keep listening and keep following the Lord, He will bring us out to a wealthy place. Amen.